The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in Revelation 18, verse 4. Revelation 18, verse 4. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can't even get through a day without sinning. So we have 1 John 1:9. It works. Use it. So that what you're doing in your daily routine is divine good, and God can bless it in that way, or under any other circumstances that you and I find ourselves in. And the circumstance now is to comprehend the information that will be presented. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the grace that enables us to assemble ourselves together so that we can receive these things that are able to and keep us on the straight and narrow and oriented to your plan and eyes off of the human viewpoint and the things that the cosmos is all cranked up about. Thank you for this opportunity. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. As you can tell, we got our air conditioning fixed. We had to put two motherboards back there, one yesterday and one today. So it's nice in here. I just want to say that I like the temperature right now. Anyway, I don't know whether you do or not. We all have kind of a different thermostat on us. If you're one of those that gets cool, bring a sweater. Do what you have to do. Now, you can only take so many clothes off, okay? And you can also quit complaining about how it feels. This is a lot better than a lot of places you could find yourself in. All right, verse 4, second pronouncement thus far. I heard another voice from heaven saying, another of the same kind. This is from the third heaven. Right up above us, as it turns out. And the voice that will be pronounced will fall on the hearing as directed at believers living in the United States right after the rapture, meaning, well, I'll get to it. The voice tells believers that live in the economic Babylon to come out of her. It's an order. It's an aorist imperative, ex erchomai, come out of her, out from her, ek, my people, laos, so that you will not participate in her sins, so that you will not, the hina here expresses purpose, with the negative, so that you will not participate. Participate is an aorist subjunctive. The subjunctive mood, of course, is the mood of potentiality. Sug koi no e'o means to share together in something, good or bad. In this case, bad. So that you will not participate or share in her sins. Plural. Amartia, and receive from her plagues. The negative, the double negative here, emphasize that, a strong negative, so that you and receive from her plagues. Aorist subjunctive lambano. The subjunctive is here because people's volition is involved, and they will have to make a decision. Believers. After the rapture. Now, it's clear to me that after the rapture, considering the significance of it, and this second pronouncement, and the worldwide evangelism that a bunch of people around the world and in the United States are going to come to salvation right in the get-go, right at the beginning. This is going to have a tremendous impact, and of course, all through the trib is evangelism. One, the extended proclamation of the fall of America extends all the way through verse 20. It follows the introductory proclamation of an angel who secures the attention of humanity. The angel that came down from heaven and lights everything up and cries out with a loud voice announcing the fall of Babylon the Great. Yeah, the Bible recognizes this is a great country, but not for the right reasons in many cases. There's different types of greatness. The heavenly announcement falls into three parts. A call for believers to exit America, verses 4 through 8. The lamenting of the kings, merchants, and all who make their living on the high seas. Verse 9 through 19, and a heavenly celebration. The voice is the voice of God. Hence, the words, "my people." An angel wouldn't say that. In verse 5, God refers to himself in the third person, but this is consistent with the long prophetic explanation that follows. The aorist imperative, "come out," is seen in Old Testament prophecies regarding this end-time economic Babylon of the last days. So it's not just here, it's in the prophet Jeremiah, for starters. I'll get there in a minute. Jeremiah 50, verse 8. "Suddenly Babylon has fallen and broken." No, that's not it. Excuse me, just a second here. It always helps if you get the right chapter, Jack. All right. Sorry about that. Chapter 50. "Wander away from the midst of Babylon and go forth from the land of the Chaldeans. Be like male goats at the head of the flock." They use goats to lead sheep. And so there will be those who will raise up and do special service with regard to helping others and providing for others to make this exodus. Verse 16, "cut off the sower from Babylon." That's farmers. "And the one who wields the sickle at the time of harvest." We have been a tremendous country with regard to the production of crops. There's no question about it. "From before the sword of the oppressor," to be identified elsewhere. "They will each turn back to his own people. And they will each flee to his own land." So I guess a Spaniard will go to Spain, and so forth and so on. And of course, Jews will go to Israel. So this theme recurs. Verse 28, same chapter. "There is a sound of fugitives." When people flee a place, what are they? They're fugitives. They've left their home. They've left their niche, and they're fugitives and refugees from the land of Babylon. In this case, the particular refugees, this influx, is Jewish Americans. Because I got it here. To declare in Zion, you wouldn't be saying that about Gentiles, the vengeance of the Lord our God. They're going to come in there talking, and they're going to be talking about the impending fall of the United States of America. Now, of course, as I've said over and over again, the rapture will occur, and there will be this window of opportunity for people to get out. And by my estimation, based on the scripture, it'll be a little over 2 years. That's well into the first half of the trip. So they'll have this time frame to make their move. To declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God. They're going to be talking about the country that they were citizens of, and that God is going to bring his payback to this country for their history and sins. Vengeance for his temple. I don't exactly know what that is. Have any ideas, let me know. Now don't come up with something stupid. Just think about it. 51:6. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and each of you save his life. Do not be destroyed in her punishment. That goes hand in hand with the verse we have here in Revelation. For this is the Lord's time of payback, vengeance. He is going to render recompense to her. Verse 9. We applied healing to Babylon. There was an attempt to get the general population to turn to the Lord, as in the case of the Assyrians. Who is we applying healing to Babylon? But she was not healed. America is not going to make a turnaround. She wouldn't be healed. Forsake her and let us each go to his own country. That broadens it beyond the Jews to individual nations of the Gentiles. This will be reflected in our chapter coming up. For her judgment has reached to heaven. There in Revelation has the figure of a tower being built to reach heaven. And towers up to the very skies. Come forth from her midst, my people. And each of you save yourselves. It's a volitional decision. It always boils down to that. From the fierce anger of the Lord. Now, so that your heart does not grow faint. And you are not afraid at the report that will be heard in the land. For the revolt will come in 1 year. And after that, a report in another year. And violence will be in the land. With ruler against ruler. Okay, this is also reflected in Zechariah 2:7. The Jews were not told, nor did they in fact leave Babylon on the eve of her overthrow by the Persians. Their community just stayed intact. Nobody fled Babylon of old. Before the Persians came. They didn't need to. The judgment fell on the leadership. They got wiped out. And life went on as normal. We know this from our study of the book of Daniel. Daniel transitions from an official in the Babylonian Empire to an official under Darius in the Persian Empire. At the end of the 7-year captivity, they were free to leave under the decree of Cyrus the Great. Cyrus the Great is the only man that I know of whose name was mentioned as Cyrus. He got the title the Great. But his name was Cyrus well over 100 years before he was ever born. He's the only one. However, in the prophecies dealing with Babylon, in the citations in point 6, the Jews most definitely are enjoined to exit prophetic Babylon or be caught up in her destruction. You want to die the sin unto death? You're still a believer. If you're going to stay here, you'll be a believer and you'll die the sin unto death. Death can glorify God, but in this case, it will not glorify God. And your phase two will be cut short. Oh yeah, you got to go through the inconvenience. Everybody's going to be inconvenienced in the trib. From Jeremiah, we learn that others beside the Jews will heed this call to exit America. We looked at that verse. Each to his own country. That's the directive will of God for believers after the rapture. How are you going to determine that? Well, that's up to the individual. Well, my ancestors came from wherever. Well, get there. God will make a way. It won't all be easy, but God will make a way, and the establishment, the ruling establishment of America, won't be able to prevent it. So much will be happening, they'll be spinning around. Look at the things they can't handle today. This will absolutely throw an absolute curve to all of them. And God doesn't give a command that you can't execute. It may be difficult, it may be this or that, but you can still do it. Don't make up these excuses why you couldn't do. In this case, relocating and having a different geographical will for the balance of the tribulation. So I think it's apropos, maybe even poetic judgment, it's poetic, that the United States will be told by God out of heaven and anyone else to go back to the country that their ancestors came from, if at all possible. The land that is noted and distinctive in that it is built on immigration. This will be reverse immigration. We haven't got to it yet, but an angel is going to pick up that symbol of immigration, that Statue of Liberty, its base even. I can imagine how many tons that thing weighs. Make a speech and flip it into the deepest part of the Atlantic, never to be recovered. This is the most prominent thing of its kind in the United States, in my opinion. There's famous other things, you know, that to commemorate certain things. But this one stands there on that Ellis Island, facing east, with a torch in her hand, inviting people who are downtrodden to come here. The symbol itself. This will be another psychological shock to the American population to see this thing picked up and an announcement made, and an angel throws it into the ocean, never to be recovered. It's a Masonic thing anyway. Yeah. It's a feel-good thing. It's what it is. Somebody in France made it and gave it as a gift to the United States. That just popped into my head one day. I wonder what this great stone this angel picks up. Just any old monster boulder? No. And it even downplays the statue sitting on it. It talks about the base, the circular base, and it compares it to a great millstone. And they're round. And this thing sits on it. It's under a previous entrepreneur in America, I forgot his name offhand, they refurbished it. They cleaned it up. In my lifetime, not some years, decades back. They redid, they, you know, cleaned it up and all the rest of it. As I told you, I saw there's a cap for sale for the 250th anniversary. It's got three things on it. The American Eagle, the Liberty Bell, appropriate, and the Statue of Liberty. Those three things. I don't know what they were charging for it. I didn't order one. Twelve Gentile Americans who believe in Christ will need to heed this summons as well. What a dramatic turn of events to hear the voice of God from heaven with a message for believers living in the USA. 14. On other rare occasions, God has spoken from heaven to an audience. Examples. I'm not saying this is all examples, but at Jesus' baptism, God declared the hypostatic union as valid. It was intact. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That meant from birth to that point, he had been sinless. And later at his transfiguration, in Matthew 17:5, where he also advised those that were there, listen to him. Listen to what he says. Hang on to it, every word. And that's what gets people in trouble. They got a hearing problem, not physiological either. You go with the truth and get your eyes off of whatever else it is, your patriotism, what your family thinks, whatever, even your spouse. This is a call to separate geographically from a distant place. Believers cannot readily separate from the kingdom of the beast during the time when all are required to be numbered and tracked. So those interpreters who confuse this with the kingdom of the beast are dead wrong. They've just ridden the United States out. Like I saw the Carson Tucker and that Marjorie Greene in there talking about the book of Revelation. For some smart people, when it comes to spiritual things, they are spiritual morons. I've read the book of Revelation. Well, anybody can read the words. Yeah, but you didn't sit under an adjusted pastor teacher. And just because you're high and mighty in the political realm does not give you any advantage. How many of these we've seen in the Bible? They didn't give them an advantage. Even though they're at the pinnacle of power and have things at their fingertips, they have to have positive volition, or they're just another leader, another person of prominence floundering around, even a Christian. Another doctrine that the conservative fundamentalist world will not touch with a 20-foot pole. And the information is out there for anyone who is prayerful and does their research and follows the dots. It's this right there. And that's been my goal and determination in my ministry, is figure something out, put it together, and communicate it. Because that's how I'm going to be graded. Not something I shrink back on and withheld from people. It's anathema to me. I could have built a big church with all kinds of pandering to these people and made it sound conservative and fundamentalist and had the gospel right. Of course, I better not teach the blood of Christ. Better not touch that one. Boy, that'll set fundies off. These are people who have gone to seminary. These are some of them know Greek. And they haven't figured this out. In almost 2,000 years of church age history? They haven't figured it out? I got all those commentaries on my shelves. I haven't come across anybody. Theology books written by graduates from Dallas Theological and other seminaries, different Protestants. They're always, it's literal blood. And it is so wrong. It does not match up with anything. So there you are out there. Jesus didn't bleed to death. He shed every drop of his precious blood for me. Have you ever heard that one? No, he didn't shed every drop of his precious blood. He didn't die by bleeding to death. Dummy. He was very much alive and cognizant. He had not even bled so much that he lost consciousness. So he could make his final words were a prayer. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he breathed his last. And the Roman soldier proved it, that he still had plenty of blood in him. When, as the scripture interprets, blood and water, that's serum. I saw a medical guy says, that's right on. That starts showing up real quick. That separation in the blood. It's a known medical fact. Oh, and by the way, he bled before anyone ever touched him. In the Garden of Gethsemane. And then the Romans whipped him and put a crown of thorns on his head. You know how your scalp bleeds like crazy versus other parts of your body if you get it, bing. So he bled all over the place before Pilate, before he ever even got to the cross. And then, hey, well, let's just brush over the 3 hours of darkness. God always does something for a purpose. And he became a curse for us for 3 hours. That's when when atonement was made for sins. All of his sufferings before and all of his sufferings after until his death, they were man-inflicted. The divine inflicted ones were through in the 3 hours of darkness. And I think I can run down a verse. I'm not going to do it now. It says that he was bruised from head to toe. That he didn't look the same when the lights came back on. And that's because he bore the sins. Think about it. Every sin of every person that ever is living and will live and down to the end of human history, and when the last person commits the last sin, all of them, he was judged. So that here at Maranatha Church, I teach, that nobody's in hell for the God-awful things they've done on earth. They're in hell because the worst thing they can do is reject Christ in time. So if you're out there, I suggest you believe in Christ. It takes just no time, and you get the biggest deliverance from the worst thing that could happen to you, and it's permanent. You can't improve on it. You can't lose it. I got a verse in one of the pastoral epistles that says, from time to time, just pop the gospel on them, even if they're saved. And of course, we have an audience out here, potentially, to hear this, because you might have been in a group where, I don't know if I'm saved. You have no confidence. All you got to do is push that button once. I got some buttons here. I'm not going to push them. It'll set the alarms off. That'll wake you up. Push both buttons at the same time if we have an emergency. And don't panic and fall apart. Hopefully we won't have to use it. So believers cannot readily separate from the kingdom of the beast. They're not told to. But the Antichrist is here. Run to another place. No, stay there and suffer. Just don't take the mark. Put everything on the line. Including your life. Your reward will be phenomenal. Believers are not readily cannot readily separate from the kingdom of the beast. That's in Europe, during the time when all are required to be numbered and tracked. Those who refuse are targets of martyrdom. This refutes the notion that Babylon is the kingdom of the beast. And that's what you get in the commentaries. It is not. Again, failure to rightly divide the word of truth. Only other example we have of prophetic separation from a locale is Jews who are to flee to pre-specified places when the Antichrist stands in the temple of God and declares himself God, Matthew 24, 15 and following. See, you've got to know your Bible. You've got to know where you're at to know what to do, what moves to make, if any, and to be in the will of God. Some are to flee, some are to stay. In the case of American Christians, believers, they are to exit. For America, this means reverse immigration. We'll just have to see how many boil out of here. I think it'll be a significant number. Certainly, I think among the Jews, they're just going to come pouring into Israel. I read another thing today that I didn't recognize the place. It was in India, a province or something in India, where all the Jews in that province are supposed to get to Israel by 2030. This Babylon is noted for its mixed or mingled peoples. Jeremiah 51:44, and the nations will no longer stream to him. Even the wall, defensive network of Babylon has fallen down. The summons to exit the U.S. comes fairly early in the trip. It has to. Right after the rapture and the announcement and the throwing of the Statue of Liberty, the worldwide proclamation of the gospel, and they're looking at all this evidence of empty graves and empty people gone. Half the workforce in a place, nobody's there. And these people are just spinning and just spinning. And there's someone right away to explain. The dead in Christ will rise first. Look at your local cemetery and see how many messed up graves there are. And those of us who remain will be caught up with them and meet the Lord in the air. It's not like they go up and then we go up. They come out of their remains, however scattered they are, will all be brought together by the one alone who can do it, given a resurrection body, and then we'll get our resurrection body in the twinkling of an eye. And we will be caught up together to meet him in the air, right in front of unbelievers all around us. So that summons comes early in the trib. Actually, there's a pair of reports that precede the nuclear annihilation of the United States. In Jeremiah 51:46. We have in the world wars and rumors of wars. 51:46. So now that your heart does not grow faint and you are not afraid at the report that will be heard in the land. For the report will come 1 year, and after that another report in another year, and violence will be in the land with ruler against ruler. So the nature of it, could it be that this series of heavenly pronouncements constitutes one of the reports, and the other is the angelic announcement in 14:8? I put that in with a question mark, okay? Fallen is Babylon the Great. Okay, so we'll see on that. All right, I'll leave that at that. Attached to the call is the reason why God's people should separate physically from the America. The words "with her sins" are an accusative instrumental preceded with the verb "participate" or literally "fellowship with something." The fellowship factor here has to do with suffering, the consequences of America's sins. Obviously, those who leave the U.S. would have sinned while living in the U.S. and would have been guilty of particular sins characteristic of American culture, such as monetary greed and arrogance. But here they can sidestep the wrath divine judgment requires by simply leaving the nuclear death zone. Grace provides an escape path for the righteous, as it did for even Lot. He did it for corrupt Lot. That guy didn't deserve to be delivered. But because of Abraham's intercession. Blessed by association, his uncle. An angel came and got him out of there. He and his two daughters were the only survivors of the Holocaust that came down on Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, Sodom and Gomorrah, there's a comparison between its destruction in 1 hour of one day and the destruction of the United States in 1 hour of one day. It'll be that fast and quick. None of this could have ever happened apart from God throwing fire out of heaven. None of this could have happened man on man. The technology wasn't there. We developed nuclear warfare. We were the first to drop it on a population. The Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We dropped that on them. We should have never done that. We're so righteous. If you study the history, you'll find out that the war was over. And we killed civilians on the ground, young and old. Not because we're up against a military machine. We just annihilated two cities. As far as I know, we're the only ones that have used that kind of nuclear weapons. But the Japanese, they believe in the doctrine of karma. What you do is going to come back on you. That's a true biblical principle, good and bad. It may take a while, but it's coming back. As we saw in the previous verses, America could turn to the Lord like Assyria did of old, but we won't. There'll be a call to turn around. Just to say, you had this opportunity. But it's already written in stone in the Bible that you weren't going to be healed. All right, thank God we got air conditioning running up and going. Anyway, I'll see you Sunday, God willing. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.